the cloud is becoming a term that is ubiquitous with cell phones and computer usage. Even people who know nothing about technology know about the cloud, most likely because some inappropriate picture was probably uploaded to the cloud at some point, and maybe someone that shouldn't have seen that picture did.
Instead of erasing the video, like you said that you would,
you accidentally sent it to all our friends and family?
In the mailman.
Because that's a thing now. So yes, the cloud is popular, the cloud is widespread, and the cloud is costly to operate. Not even from a hardware perspective. Yes, the companies that provide you cloud services have to buy thousands of pieces of computer networking equipment and computers to make a cloud, to make it work. But outside of that hardware, there's an energy cost to keep these server farms running. And I'm going to blow your mind. This podcast is on the cloud.
Wow.
The big cloud hosting providers, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, they're realizing that these energy costs are going to be a problem for them in the future. And they are finding ways of using renewable energy to keep these services alive. So this week, we're talking about turning the clouds green. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast, episode 48. Before we get to our main story this week, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 8 days. Yay! Oracle managed to buy NetSuite for $9.3 billion. Yay! Pardon my sarcasm, but this deal that we have been talking about for weeks has finally come to fruition. Oracle will move forward with the purchase of acquiring NetSuite. T. Rowe Price, who invested in NetSuite, was their major opposition. But Oracle managed to get around that particular problem by buying more stock, so they were more of a majority and were able to move forward with the transaction. That kind of sounds shady, but it probably isn't. Probably. So yeah, that was the only acquisition that took place last week. But in acquisition news, we have some more information about the feud between Microsoft and Salesforce that happened because of the acquisition of LinkedIn. You have to remember, a few years ago, Microsoft almost bought Salesforce. And over the years, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella and Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff became friendly. They were going to each other's conferences, they were making nice speeches. Even though IBM technically had a competitor in the CRM space, they were getting pretty cozy. And then IBM kind of slipped in and bought LinkedIn. Apparently, both companies privately made offers for months, each sweetening their bids as competition increased. Salesforce even called their acquisition project of LinkedIn Project Burgundy. But ultimately, Microsoft physically had more cash to offer, as opposed to like a stock trade, and that made them a much more attractive buyer to the LinkedIn team. And since we're talking about old acquisitions that we've already talked about, let's talk about Google's recent acquisition of Apigee for $625 million. This is a company that only generated $92 million in revenue, and insiders say it's not like Google actually needs an API platform. But what they do need is corporate revenue in the cloud space. Apigee has a list of corporate clients like Allstate, AT&T, Burberry, First Data, Walgreens. All in all, they have 335 customers, corporate customers. And the big secret that isn't really a secret in Silicon Valley is that Google is not currently attracting corporate customers for their cloud services. So there is the logic of that particular acquisition. So speaking of Google, they're really the inspiration of this particular podcast. In the summer, I mentioned a news story that Google was actually turning their own artificial intelligence systems in on itself to make their data centers more efficient, and it was actually yielding great results. The thing you need to remember about Google is they've already invested millions of dollars on sensors and systems that actually provide the kind of feedback that an artificial intelligence system would be able to react to make it more efficient. For years, Google has been transitioning away from traditional grid energy to more renewable resources. And they also moved away from certain types of cooling systems, which consumed more energy, to more efficient water-cooled cooling systems, which means they're running way less fans and air conditioning systems. Google's very close to achieving almost 100% renewable energy usage in their California's and most US-based data centers. I think it's a little bit more difficult in Europe. But on the heels of their actions, Amazon recently invested in a new wind farm in Ohio to help power their cloud business. Amazon has a goal to fulfill at least half of their energy needs of its big data centers with renewable energy by 2017. And that's apparently up from 40% in 2016. The Ohio plant apparently has 189 megawatts of capacity, and that will generate 530,000 megawatt hours of power per year. And that bad boy is scheduled to go live in December of 2017. The data center industry uses the measurement PUE, or power usage effectiveness, to measure efficiency. So take, for instance, a PUE of 2.0. That means for every watt of IT power, an additional watt is consumed to cool or distribute power to the IT equipment. A PUE of a 1.0 means that nearly all energy is being used for computing and not for cooling. So let's go all the way back to 2008. Google has numbers for their overall data center efficiency. And even back then, they had a 1.23 overall PUE. Flash forward to Q3 of today, their entire fleet has reduced that number down to 1.14 PUE and is actually going to be reduced very shortly to 1.12. And I guess I take back what I said about Europe, because the lowest PUE that Google recorded was a 1.10 in Belgium. Of course it was Belgium. As a point of comparison, the annual Uptime Institute survey has found the average data center PUE to be a 1.7. And these numbers might be confusing. One would think that a 1.12 coming from a 1.7 isn't much of a change. But let's say you have a prospective customer moving from on-premises to cloud deployment, going from an average PUE of 1.7 down to 1.2. For like-powered servers, that means the power consumption is 29% less than on-premise data centers. AWS is currently reporting to have a power usage effectiveness of less than 1.2, but those numbers are not confirmed. And certain Microsoft facilities have a PUE of less than 1.1, but that's only at certain times of the year. What we should take away from this situation is that large infrastructure companies like Google, Amazon, and Microsoft are heavily investing in technologies that make them energy efficient and as close to carbon neutral as possible. And yes, this is absolutely good for the earth, and I'm sure that's a great PR line, but the simple fact of the matter is these server farms are energy pigs. And since they consume so much energy, going to green resources that they can pull from wind or from solar makes their operations run more effectively and with less risk for downtime. And since we were talking about Microsoft and their very respectable PUE scores, it's something they should be proud of, but something they shouldn't be so proud of is the fact that 331 million people ditched Internet Explorer and Edge this year. So as a frame of reference, that's more than the entire United States population, like the entire population of the United States. All of those people ditched Internet Explorer and Edge. Microsoft is trying to keep their users. They're trying to convince everyone that Edge is much better from battery management perspective. It introduced Cortana support, and they're poking at Chrome because it is a notorious memory pig. But people love Chrome, but they're also remembering Firefox again. And Firefox apparently saw a user increase of about 2 percentage points, and that equated to about 2.7% of the users that bailed from Microsoft's Edge and Internet Explorer products. Microsoft should also be alarmed that the pace does not seem to be slowing, and the decline is actually getting more severe as the years go on. And since we're talking about Microsoft, and I think this is really funny, last week, former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer talks about why he's not friends with Bill Gates anymore. Ballmer pushed heavily to move Microsoft into the mobile space. Years later, Ballmer still thinks that Microsoft should have invested more heavily and sooner into the mobile space. But Bill Gates disagreed. Ballmer says there was a fundamental disagreement about how important it was in the hardware business. Ballmer says that he pushed the Surface and the board was reluctant in supporting it. And then things came to a climax around what to do about the phone business. Microsoft entered the market in 2012 with the Surface RT. It sold poorly, and it required Microsoft to take a $900 million write-off. The Surface is now very popular and generating more than $4 billion in sales in the most recent year. So it kind of sounds like maybe Ballmer wasn't the right guy to steer the ship, but the direction was right. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.